Congressman, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Tony, thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
Well, how was your weekend?
It was great. A Labor Day weekend are always good, except for the kids going back to school. But have you ever seen that commercial with the Post-it notes where they're running down the aisle?
Sure.
With the kids going back to school? I just love that commercial. I think that sums up Labor Day weekend, right? That mixed emotion.
You know, it's funny that back-to-school shopping around where I live starts happening in the spring, you know,
because
they start having sales back then. But the kids are back to school. You're here. When do you head back? When does Congress get back in session?
We are back in session first part of next week.
And what's going to be the number one topic for discussion?
Well, I imagine the president's proposal will be the number one topic for discussion. And, you know, we hope that they start focusing on reducing the deficit spending. It is a bit scary about how much money and how fast they are spending.
Well, I segued into what was going to be discussed because I knew probably it was going to be the president's idea to create jobs. Obviously, we need jobs not only in the state of Michigan but across the country. Talk about his proposal and what you think about it.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in his proposal. The R&D tax credit, which is research and development tax credit, means that companies that invest in research of a particular product that's built in the United States gets this something called the research and development tax credit. It's incredibly important if you're doing high-tech innovation, if you're doing pharmaceutical innovation, those kinds of things. It's really important. Medical devices, all of which are important. And I have long been supporting of doing making it permanent, and that's what the president has talked about again. I think that's an important step, but it is not an economic driver. It is not something that's going to get people back hiring again. It just puts a little more permanence in that R&D tax credit. So that's a good thing. If he wants to make it permanent, I'm for it. But this notion that we're also going to spend all this additional money, you know, we're going to surpass $1.5 trillion in deficit spending, not debt. This is all new debt. Just this year, we're going to spend $1.5 trillion more dollars than the federal government took in. So if you add up last year and this year, that's more deficit spending than all of the other presidents of the United States combined, from George Washington to George W. Bush.
Congressman, should this plan be enacted, how will it affect Michigan? How many jobs do you believe it would bring to Michigan, and would they be long-term jobs?
Well, I'm not convinced it will, and that's why I unless there's something he's holding back, I probably won't support it. One of the reasons we've had such a hard time is the small business group that we count on for a recovery. Those are small business owners. These are people who are going to hire 2 people and 3 people and 5 people and 10 people. Those small businesses are critical to us getting out of this recession. And when you look at this package, nothing takes the pressure off of these folks. And creating a new government fund to loan money is a serious mistake. It hasn't worked in the past. It's not going to work now. They need capital, and they need certainty. So, right, think about what's going to happen, Tony. In December, there's going to be this largest tax increase in the history of the country. It's looming large. They have all this new regulation and cost in the health care bill. They have card check hanging over their head. There is so much uncertainty for them that they've said, I am not going to take a chance. I don't know what an employee will cost me next year. I have no idea. So they're looking at it, and I couldn't in good conscience hire somebody this year not knowing what someone's going to cost me. And my argument, and we were hoping the president would listen, was let's take the uncertainty out so that people can start saying, all right, I pretty much know what my costs are going to be. I'm going to take a chance for growth going into next year. Right now, we don't have any of that.
In the many conversations that I've had with you over the last 6 months or so, you have talked about how jobs are a priority, how the budget deficit is a priority. And I see this struggle within you because there are some programs which you really weren't in favor for, but they created jobs in Michigan, so you voted for them. Talk about how you struggle with that.
Sure. Well, I mean, we're in a recession, certainly like I've never seen in my lifetime, and the longer it goes, the worse it goes. When people are hurting and they're getting ready to lose their homes, it's the wrong time not to extend unemployment benefits. So I bucked my party on that particular issue. I just, you know, if you come back to a place like Michigan, see how bad we're hurting. It's not because people are laying at home eating bonbons. It's because we truly have an economic problem. And the fact that manufacturing hasn't been completely competitive here puts us in a disadvantage. So something like that, yeah, you do wrestle with it. Now, I voted for it, but at the same time, I also asked those colleagues to pay for it. I mean, it was $30 billion. And at the end of the day, they didn't pay for it. So I had a very tough decision. Do you vote to extend it knowing that I think adding this $30 billion to the deficit, this was late last, a few months ago, that's a tough decision. But at the end of the day, I said, listen, if we have the opportunity next year to make this decision, we would extend it and it would be paid for. So I'm going to go ahead and extend it, hoping that if something changes in November, we can put a little common sense and balance back.
You voted against Barack Obama's health care plan.
I did.
But talk about your votes when it came to giving loans to the auto industry and to Wall Street. Talk about how you voted and why you voted that way.
The TARP bill, the famous TARP bill, I voted against. I thought it was wrong to send that much money to Wall Street that even in its design wasn't designed to get back to places like Michigan. It was to shore up very bad decisions with no punishment for the folks who had made those decisions. A lot of those folks are still there. A lot of those folks are doing very well financially. We're not doing so much. The loan to the auto company was this was the choice that we were given. Nothing or reprogram some of the money that was already spent. Now, I opposed spending the money in the first place, but now that money is law, and it was going to be spent, and it was going to be sent to Wall Street. My argument is, well, if we're going to do this, then maybe we should reprogram it and at least allow the auto companies to be able to use it to restructure. And so that's where I came down on that. It's too important. The automobile industry in Michigan is critical. And, you know, a lot of people want to chalk it off and talk about new businesses and doing other things, and that's great, and I'm for that. I'm all for diversity. However, our bread and butter is the auto manufacturing, and it will allow us to do other things in the future. And we're going to sell 11 million cars this year. At one point in the United States, we sold 16 million cars. That's a huge market. Why shouldn't we be a part of that market?
Can Michigan survive and thrive without manufacturing being a principal factor in the economy?
Well, I don't know why we would want to. I mean, you probably could if you got off to do something, but why would we want to do that? Manufacturing has been the backbone of this country. It has created the largest middle class in the world. And interestingly, the pressures on the middle class are going away with our manufacturing. And so I absolutely believe that manufacturing should be a part of it, and we shouldn't shy away from it. And clean manufacturing, I hope people get a chance to go down and see the CTS Cadillac plant. Take a tour. You know, they do public tours every so often. I highly recommend it. It is not the manufacturing that a lot of people, you know, envision. You know, these horrible, dirty places that nobody wants to go to. It's very clean. It's very high tech. It's ergonomically correct, and the wages are great. Why wouldn't we fight for those kind of environments and jobs?
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and worldwide on the internet at 1320WILS.com, 70 degrees, 725. We're talking with Congressman Mike Rogers. The main focus of this show is to be fair and balanced.
Sure.
There's three sides to every story, one side of the story, the other side, and the truth. And I have all these people around me, way over here to the right and to the left, and I think they kind of keep me centered. And I have people on the right side that say, you know what, we didn't need to give money to the auto industry or to Wall Street. Let it work its way out. Those who can be strong enough to survive, let them do it. And others who can't, oh well, so be it. And along the lines of that same thinking, I have especially this one individual who told me that, you know what, we help people too much, and the nature of business is to allow it to work its way through. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, clearly, the less government intervention, the better. You know, I always equate it to a football game. If I look at the business community, I want the government to be the referees, not the quarterback. And sometimes in politics, there's a lot of people who want to play quarterback. And I argue that we ought to set the rules Say this is how you play fair, and good luck. May the best team win. And I do believe that's the appropriate role for government. And, you know, that sets me a little bit apart from some of the folks, as you describe it, on the right, who say, you know, no intervention ever, leave everything alone on the survival of the fittest. But in my mind, never always works. You have to have some rules of the road. There has to be, you know, capitalism is a powerful thing. But you need to have rules of the road so capitalism doesn't eat itself up.
Congressman, when I asked you about manufacturing, let's take auto manufacturing out of it. I had an email question when I had mentioned that you were coming on the program. Can the state survive and flourish? Does it need other forms of manufacturing to be fruitful?
Well, I would compete for every manufacturing job we can find. And I don't care if it's energy-related, green energy-related, high-tech manufacturing, if it's medical device manufacturing. Absolutely. Because manufacturing, when you produce something, you know, everybody wants to go to a service economy. And I always say, if you want to do that, take a look at what happened to Great Britain. When they went to a service economy, their recessions are deeper. They can't quite get out of them. They're always dependent on other countries like China and other manufacturing centers to get them out of it. So I think manufacturing is absolutely critical. And I would argue, you know, this whole notion that we all want to go high tech and everyone wants to be in the service industry, I think that's dangerous because manufacturing is the strength of any great middle class, and we've got to have manufacturing in the state of Michigan. And I would create an environment where we can attract all of it here to the state of Michigan.
We've only got a couple minutes before a break, and I know you're going to stick around for a segment after the break. But my next question to you would be, it's obvious that Jennifer Granholm had inherited or had been in office when a lot of bad things happened. They weren't within her power. But a lot of questions we get revolve around business. Why hasn't the state made itself more business friendly with the tax regulations, with all the rules that have to be followed when you look at Texas and North Carolina, number one and two, when it comes to being business friendly? Why are we taking so long to be more business friendly?
That's an excellent question. And the governor made her own bet. When they took and remodeled the business tax and made it more expensive for the smallest businesses to survive here. You know, my mom ran the small chamber of commerce in a little town called Brighton, Michigan, and took it from 50 members to 1,200 members. And so when I was growing up, I thought everybody owned your own small business. You work 7 days a week and you didn't make any money. I thought that's just what happened when you grew up. And that's what our small retailers fight through every good times, bad times. And what happened was those people got punished pretty severely in this. So they cut a deal for the big boys, the big manufacturers, our car companies included, at the expense of all these other small businesses.